All right, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is good, say amen. All right, you are welcome to another edition of the School of Prayer. Today I will teach mostly, and then at the end, we will take our prayer that we have prayed before, which we have not done in a while. But what I'm going to do is to teach some basic things that we can use every time in our lives, and so we understand how to handle the matter of prayer. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, the Lord is good. All right, so if you have your Bibles, can you quickly open it, and let's begin today from the book of Luke chapter 18. I will read from verse 2. My title for today's discussion teaching is continual prayer, all right, or persistent prayer. Choose the one you like. All right, the book of Luke chapter 18 is where we start. I will first read from the King James Bible, and then I will now read my own normal translation. The book of Luke chapter 18, from verse 1, and his speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then the parable starts from verse 2. But let's read from my New American Standard. There's a reason why I read that King James. I like the word faint. That's what I want to bring out from there. So New American Standard is what I'll read. It said, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Or like King James, we say, avenge me of my adversary. All right. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her her legal protection. Or King James says, I will avenge her like she's requesting. That's what King James uses the expression. All right? Because I do not want her to wear me out with her continual coming, lest by continually coming she wear me out. Now, verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I'd like to explain this scripture a bit before I go into the next one that I want us to read. Now, please notice something here, and I'll tell you some of the history I have personally in understanding this. He said that there was a judge. Now, this is a parable. The Bible says clearly that it is a what? A parable. That is, this did not really happen. He just told the story. Maybe something like that happened, but he brought out this story so as to give us a spiritual understanding. Now, just by the way, for those who want to understand the Bible, if you read somewhere like R.W. Bollinger, he explains something, or E.W. Bollinger. He says that there's a difference between parable and when the Bible says that there was a man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you see in the Bible says that there was a man. And when the Bible says there's a man, that's not a parable. It means literally that there indeed was a man. Yeah, I said that just for completeness, for those of us who understand the Bible. So Bollinger said that you will see there are times the Bible says that there was a man. And at such times, it's not a parable. Even though you can learn a lesson from it, it means literal, there was indeed a man. All right? Like Lazarus. Lazarus was not a parable. Lazarus and the rich man. There was a man, Lazarus. But here, Jesus said, the Bible said that he told them a parable. All right? Saying. And now, the thing is that the aim of the parable was to bring out some points. As you see, my Bible says in the first line, New American Standard, it said, was telling them a parable to show, all right? To show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. So please, there's this reason why I'm saying this. I want to verify something that people said to me before when we were trying to explain this. They said that Now, the Bible says that there was an unjust judge, a judge in the city who did not respect God, nor did he fear God, nor did he respect man. That's the parable of the unjust judge. Now, please notice this thing. Jesus said there was a judge. He didn't say the man was unjust, really. No, he said it later on, all right? But what he said is, I said there was a judge who did not respect, fear God, nor respect man. Now, some have said, now, why I said everything that I said earlier about this is a parable is that Jesus created the story. Are you getting what I'm saying? Explain. To bring out an issue. So you should know that he knew what he was saying. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? He knew what he was saying. He created the story to bring out a point. So they said that this judge could not have been a type of God because Jesus said, look at what this unjust judge said. Do you understand what I mean? This unrighteous judge, that he said this. All right? So they said that that judge was not a type of God. Do you understand what I'm not explaining? But then I want to just disagree, just for those who may have heard such things before, that they said this man did not fear God, nor did he respect man. Excuse me. Nor did he respect man. Now, the fact is that that is exactly how God is. There is no God for him to fear, and he has no respect of persons. Now, do you understand what I'm explaining? Now, we just thought that, okay, since he's a man that didn't fear God, he was a bad man. No. Jesus said this is a judge that had nobody above him for him to be in fear of. Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, this is exactly the type, all right, of the character of God. That the whole thing may not be God, all right, but Jesus wanted to show us something here, that this is just exactly how God really is. Nobody's above him, all right, and he's not afraid of anybody. So anything he does is because he sees it as the right thing to do. So I want us to understand that first. Now, concerning this judge in this story, Jesus said, I'm telling you this parable so that you will continually pray, all right, and not get tired. The word is that I want you to pray. I like the way King James says, men ought always, always to pray and not faint. If I like the New Living Translation says it, it said, Jesus told the disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer, all right, and that they must never give up. What's the next point I want to make? The issue of giving up. The issue of fainting, the issue of losing heart. He said they ought to pray and not to lose heart. My Bible uses the word at all times. Now, what do I want to bring out? The matter of losing heart. That tells you something. Anytime the Bible says something like that, it means there's a danger of losing heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you say that don't do this, it means there is a danger. I always say that God doesn't really command about things that will otherwise not come to you. You know, things that will have come to you naturally. Therefore, you don't hear the scripture say that thou shalt eat in the morning. People love to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you hear is that don't eat at certain times, because if we are not told anything, we will eat. Eating is the one that comes to us naturally. So when it says men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to lose heart or never give up, three different expressions from the three different translations, what it's saying is that the natural thing is that you will lose heart. The natural thing is that you will give up. Do you get what I'm explaining? I'm not explaining. The natural thing is that you will pray about something and the result won't come quickly. Therefore, you will stop praying about it. That is, you have lost the constancy of prayer because of the loss of heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? The man gave up. He became tired. What am I saying? It appears, Jesus was saying, that men pray sometimes and results don't come quickly. Therefore, what do? They get tired. They lose heart. And he was trying to explain something to them. Now, this is where the difference between that man and God begins to show. That he said that even if he was a natural man like this judge, if you come to him constantly, a time will come that he will have to avenge you because of your constant coming. He said, however, now please follow this so that it don't appear as if I'm contradicting myself. However, God does not waste time unnecessarily. Are you getting my point? All right, he doesn't always waste time like that. But this judge is wasting time because he doesn't care. But Jesus said that the Lord, who is trying to explain about, God cares, therefore he avenges his people, all right, speedily. But you say, okay, if he avenges speedily, why is it that they will say tarry in the place of prayer? Please, guess what I'm going to explain here. There are different things. They are not contradictory if you listen to them very well. Jesus was explaining here that you must pray constantly and not get tired. And I've emphasized, and I'm sure it's clear to you, that the reason is because there will be reason to get tired.
you will pray about corruption in the nation, people will be getting worse. You get my point? You'll be praying for your brother, your sister, for his or her salvation. Last time, he was smoking cigarette. Next time you find him, he's on hemp. No, listen to me. This is just by the way. People do get tired. And in fact, positive results is encouraging. You go and see Paul. He said that when I heard of your faith, I began to pray. That this positive result is encouraging for more prayer. If you prayed for that, your brother or your cousin or somebody, before that time, he was on, he was smoking wee-wee. Next time you saw him, the guy has stopped smoking wee-wee. He's now using only cigarettes. You are happy that, all right, God, he thinks it's getting better. Maybe next time, the only paper he could just smoke, then one day he will stop entirely. Now, you are getting what I'm explaining. You get encouraged. Go and read the letters of Paul. Paul said that when I heard of your faith, you understand my point? I did not cease to pray for you. You see, the man was encouraged when he had positive results. So it's natural. People get encouraged when they have positive results. Now, that is good. But Jesus was teaching us here that, listen, my guys, it don't work like that. A lot of times you start praying, situation appears to be getting worse. He said, but don't slack your hand. Don't slacken your hands. Don't get tired. Why shouldn't you get tired? Because even a natural judge, if you persist, eventually he will answer you. But God is not a natural judge who is wasting time unnecessarily. Now, listen to the point. If it appears like results are not coming, there is a reason. Now, are you getting my point? Now, you are going to overcome that. Part of the weapons for your overcoming is persistence in prayer. What I'm saying, is it clear? I think it is clear. All right, so, why did he tell this parable? Let me summarize. The idea is that you will pray in life, and it appears as if results are taking time. If you stop praying, is that okay? You are not likely to see that result. But if you stay there, all right, then you will be there until the result comes, and you will experience the result. And while you are waiting, that's the issue of patience. The problem is that it might take time, so a man may get tired. Hope that is delayed, the Bible says, does what? Makes the heart sick. You just get tired that, Abba, we don't pray, we don't tire. All right? But he said, if you really want to see any result, it must be that you are praying constantly. But there's one last line there before, that will let me comment on before I go to the next thing I want to read. He said, I tell you that it will bring about justice for them speedily. However, now this is the reason why they will not experience the justice. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me quickly summarize this. What he's saying is that the sign of faith in people is that they persistently and continually hold on to God, even though it appears like results have not yet come. Are you getting my point? You know, let me say something to you here, just to illustrate this. I'm a doctor, right? Most of you here know that. So I know how medicine works. Let me tell you about faith in doctors. A man has a particular ailment. He comes to clinic today. The doctor sees him, orders a battery of tests, and gives him a note, which he takes to the records department, that says, come back in 3 weeks, hopefully with all his results. You know what happens? At the end of 3 weeks, he comes with his results, and he's back. He has what? Faith in that doctor. You understand my point? You see what's going on? He has faith in that doctor. So he comes back. And look, I work in the teaching hospital. That's the way it works. Then after a while, they tell him, you know, the doctor says, okay, what we are going to do is that we are going to do a surgery. When is the surgery? We build you up first. You have lost too much weight. You will take this medicine. Sometimes when it's a tumor, they say, we have to shrink the tumor. All kinds of stories. So you will take this medicine for this period of time. Then so and so and so date, we will now go in surgery and remove this and that. That's another 4 weeks. And he or she goes away, takes the medicine as ordered, and returns back to clinic in 4 weeks for admission for surgery. 2 months has passed. He has not given up. Now, you are following what I'm explaining. That's a sign of faith. That's even surgery. Sometimes, they will tell you from the beginning. I remember one of our patients when I was a medical student. Very intelligent man. What I mean intelligent? Dr. Issa, our lecturer then, was explaining some things to us. It was a case of Parkinson's disease. And he said, put in this medicine, we'll do this, we'll do that. Hopefully, by the time we add this one, we should be able to attain a good control.
So he spoke, and then after a while, the man said, excuse me. Is there any questions, sir? It was a senior man, I think a retired school principal. He said, any questions, sir? The man said, yes. I noticed that when you were talking to your students, you said you were hoping to achieve a good control. What is wrong with a cure? Ah, the man. And our girl said, very good question. Sir, you have a disease we cannot cure. What we hope to do is to control it. Because long story short, you will persistently take these drugs. Let me tell you the story about the disease. Your brain will get worse. He didn't tell the man that. I'm the one saying it. But he told the man, you continually take these drugs. What we hope to do is to balance out this and that. But I know that what happens is that the dose that you are taking will continue to increase. Well, after a while, we'll add more wicked spirits than this one that we are giving you right now. More dangerous. And hopefully, something else will kill you before this thing gets you. That's the idea. I mean, if you live to be the age of maybe 80 and you die from a heart attack, we'll say, praise God, at least we did not allow Parkinson's disease to get you. Now, I'm not explaining the principle. What are the principle of what? Persistence. Faith, all right, is manifested in what? That persistence in prayer. Now, because one problem we had in the Word of Faith movement was that people said that once you pray about something, you don't talk about it again. I'll try and address that a bit now. But at least you've understood this parable here. So the sign that people actually are trusting in God is that they continually pray about issues and they don't leave it alone. They don't give up as if God is not answering. Now, I say that they are ready to give the doctor a year, two, and like in this man's case, life. And they continue coming back because of what? Faith. But then they expect the pastor to walk miracle sharp. You know what I mean? Receive it right now. Everything has changed. Sometimes it works like that. Other times, it doesn't work like that. Do you understand my point? That's what I keep on emphasizing. Let's not tie our faith to material things. Let's tie our faith to God first. If he now gives us material things quickly, praise God. If he gives us material things slowly, praise God. If he John the Baptist our life, well, we will still prophesy happily from the wilderness, but we will not depart from serving this Lord our God. Do you understand my principle there? All right. Okay, now, that's my first scripture. Quickly, let's read the second one. That one is from the book of Daniel. Let me just start from Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict. But he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. Now, this is what Daniel said in verse 2. He said, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat nor wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. And on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen and all of that. His body was like burial, verse 6, and his face and appearance, he described the appearance of the person. Now in verse 7, it says, now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. Now, then he now fell down and all of that. Let me just jump because of time. Verse 10, please. He said, then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. He said, now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. Now, let me just stop there so that we don't spend all the time. But what I have brought out, what I want to bring out, we have already read it. Please, notice something here. The Bible says clearly that in the third year of the reign of this particular king, Cyrus, Daniel had a message. He understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Now, what he said, for in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. Please, I want you to understand something. If you read up from, don't let me not say things that may cause me confusion. I'm trying to explain. But you will get a context here. Daniel went there with a particular prayer point, all right? Now, what I suspect, all right, not very sure now, was that he had a vision, a revelation, but he did not have the full understanding. And then he began to pray. But whatever it is, something caused him to go out, to go and try to pray. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. So he went with a particular request. And the angel said that on the first day that he prayed, that's where I'm trying to bring out, that the very first day he uttered his words in prayer, that his words were heard in heaven. And where's that verse, please? Huh? 12, all right? Yes. He said, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. Now, from the time that you prayed until today, 21 days passed, and he gave him an explanation of why there was 21 days. Now, the year after I got married, my wife asked me this question, that this angel said it took, his prayer was answered the first day. You know that. All right? The first day. She now asked that, okay, what if Daniel had left that place after praying the first day and gone away? What would have happened? Are you getting my point? That was it necessary for him to have stayed there for 21 days to receive that the answer to that prayer? Please, I hope you're following the question she asked. And, you know, I'm inspired. Sometimes you ask me questions, I didn't know the answer until you opened your mouth to ask. And as you are asking, understanding begins to come to me, and I begin to flow with an answer. Because I never thought about it myself before like that. On that day she asked, and I began to answer. And I knew that I gave a correct answer. Over the years, I've not had any cause to change my mind concerning that answer that I gave almost, that's about 9 years ago. Now, what was the issue? One, the man prayed, and we know he was answered day one. 21 days he was there, persistent in prayer, before the answer manifested. What if he had left on that first day? Let me tell you where it is, and that's where I answered it then. Number one, there are two sides to life, all right? Like if you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained a principle that somebody will ask you, what if the widow did not give food to Elijah when he asked for the meal? Do you understand my point? What if the widow was asked, give me your meal, and listen to me, the food will never finish. In fact, what Elijah was saying, if you understand it well, was that you think you have a last meal, but I know it is not a last meal. Why? Because thus says the Lord, it will never finish. So Elijah was not really asking, give me the last food that you have. You are not hungry yet. I'm the one that traveled. I don't know whether you understand my point. You think your food is about to finish. I know it will not finish. Therefore, go and bring from it and give to me, and then the food will never finish. Now, so you said that what if the woman had refused? Now, if you read in that book, I gave two answers. I said, number one, if she had refused, it will be that she did not trust the words of Elijah. And not trusting the word of Elijah will have inactivated the power in those words. I don't know whether you get my point. Her refusal, all right? Is not a refuser, does not mean that God did not propose to bless her. It just meant that when the blessing came, she did not accept it. I don't know whether you are following what I'm explaining. That was the first answer. I said there's a practical answer, there's a theoretical answer. That answer I've given is a theoretical one. That was the practical one. Now, practical and theoretical, unlike what a lot of people think, they are not opposite to each other. Theory is the foundation for that which is practical. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, what's the practical answer? I'll give that one to you now. I wrote in that book. That one, God proposed to bless that woman. Are you getting my point? Therefore, there was not one chance in a million that she would have refused Elijah. If she had refused, the blessing would have eluded her. But if you look at it practically,
God sent something to her, and she was going to get it for certain reasons. We are not discussing that one now. The main reason was that God said, I know Abraham. That is, there are people that God knows. God knows what you will do. Do you understand my point? He knows. So when he wanted to plot his blessing, he didn't go through a method that he knew that the woman would not be able to receive. He went through a method that he knew the woman would accept. And I said the reason she accepted Elijah was plenty. One of them is probably that she's used to showing mercy on hungry prophets. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? It has become a part of her person. Now, please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. So that's the practical side of it. That blessing was hers. And if the Holy Spirit needed to move her by different methods, he would. All right? So that she will accept the word that he's speaking. That is the practical side. Now, what's the application here? Daniel. If Daniel had left, all right, it would have been a reflection of the fact that that thing was not very important to him. I don't know whether I get the point. That's all. It would simply have reflected the fact that this man, this is not important to him. And that's why if you are praying about something, it's not as if God didn't hear you on the day one. If after 10 days, you can't even remember what it was, it was not a serious matter. I don't know whether you get the point I make. It wasn't. And if something is not coming from the depth of your heart, it doesn't resound in heaven. It's not as if God is angry with you that, why do you leave the place so quickly? I don't know whether you answer or not explain. No. The issue is that this man, this thing is not important to him. If it were important, you will have found out that this man would have been there waiting. So, what is the practical thing? Number one, Daniel would have stayed. Nobody taught him the kind of faith some of us try to have. Just pray about it once and go away. He didn't have it. So that's what I explained to her then. This is how it works. The fact that this man is persistent, all right, is a sign of his faith. I don't know why you are getting what I'm going to explain. And if he had left on day one, this is the issue. It would have been that he was not totally convinced concerning what he was asking or in the power of God or the willingness of God to release it into his life. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Are you getting the point I'm making? No, look, so I'm trying to bring out two things side by side. So we're talking, because what I want to bring out is this issue of persistence in prayer. Is that all right? Now, there's a reason why it took 21 days for Daniel. And what was that reason? There was a creature in the heavens fighting so that this man will not pass. Now, please, I don't have time. We don't have all the time to discuss these things in details. But you ask yourself a simple question. So, God did not know that this guy was going to be stopped on the way. So, he waited until the battle had reached like 20 days before he now dispatched Michael, who obviously was a wicked soul of a devil, of an angel, who doesn't spare devils at all. He now came, broke through their ranks, and passed through. No, for goodness sake, why didn't he do that on day one? I'll tell you something. It's not an afterthought. It just means that Michael doesn't move until certain things are in place. And Daniel was putting, I can't go into details. Daniel was putting those things in place until he had reached a level where God had, because God always has a reason for doing things. When God now said, fine, now dispatch Michael. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? I told you the other time about a spiritual substance rising from inside you. That's the way it is with prayer. Now, I don't know the details of how that happened, but there was a reason why God did not dispatch Michael until a certain time. And I believe that was dependent upon the people on the earth. Not as if God just suddenly said, what will we go do now? Get me my most dangerous angel. No. Please, do you get my point? Now, just to bring out one particular truth, so for our message for today, I believe that it's when the cry of a man's soul, do you understand my point, reaches a particular level in heaven, that the intensity of that desire and that faith releases more, releases stronger forces on his, in his favor. And that's the answer I have here. That Daniel needed to continue like that for many reasons, one of which was because his words, let me explain this. Our words on the earth is what God uses. Oh God, let me look for wisdom. Like they are made into weapons. Because spiritual warfare is more a battle of authority rather than the matter of brute strength. I don't know whether you get what I'm not explaining. It's not about two angels sitting down and saying, come, let's do arm wrestling. Let's see who is stronger. No. It's a matter of release of authority. Do you get my point? Therefore, the words of the people that God kept on the earth is what God uses in heaven as a weapon, all right? Because the truth is that it's actually authority that's being wielded. So when men don't release the force of their... Now, remember we said something before about the person praying. That is who know who. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, it's your relationship with God that gives you the ability to ask for mercy for somebody else. Are you getting the point? I hope I'm not getting too technical. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so, because here you see that he said, O man of high esteem. That is, so this is Daniel. That when he speaks, everybody hears in heaven. O man of high esteem. But despite the fact that the man of high esteem was so high in esteem, he needed to be persistent in something until the thing kind of reaches a level. The Bible says it like this. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it says, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. So it appears that what's happening is that, you know, I said before that prayer has measures. You're going to read Revelations. The prayer of the saints were poured in a censer. That is, this man was praying, his prayer was being poured somewhere. Then the time came, it filled the whole place. So that God now released more power in his direction. And Jesus told us, and that's where we read just now, that is why a man ought always to pray and not to get tired. Because spiritual things are like this. For a long time, you've heard the story of the Chinese bamboo. How many of you have heard that story before? Yes, I don't know the Chinese bamboo, I've heard the story too. But that's how spiritual things are. It's as if suddenly it breaks forth. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. That is, we had almost given up. Then suddenly things broke. Like you've heard the expression in English, they say, it doesn't rain, it pours. That is, suddenly one thing after another just starts happening. I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. The Chinese bamboo, they say that, is it for 3 years? I don't know. Who knows the story, the detail of the story? You keep on watering it. How many years? 5, 6, 7, anyway, whatever. For years, they said they keep watering this Chinese bamboo, watering the Chinese bamboo. The guy, it will even come out from the earth. Then one day, it will just shake his shoulders like a man, like the Bible says, like a strong man awakened from his slumber. And grow how many feet in how many days? Who knows? I don't know the details. Okay. But something like maybe it will grow like maybe 20 feet in 1 week or something like that. I don't know the detail, but something like that. So then it starts growing rapidly that you start watching it grow. For years you were watching this thing, there was no progress. Then suddenly the progress begins and then there's no stopping it. Rising to a height of maybe 20 feet, I don't know exactly the number they give, in just a matter of a few days and a few weeks, when for years nothing had happened. And that's what God is teaching us here. That listen, you are praying doesn't mean nothing is happening. Do you get my point? That in the heavens, this angel was there trying to pass. Do you understand my point? As far as Daniel was concerned, nothing was happening on the earth. First day went, the guy left heaven. And heaven is not a long distance from the earth. As soon as you leave heaven, you're about to enter into the stratosphere of the earth, the atmosphere of the earth. But he couldn't enter. So as soon as he left, there was obstruction. And Daniel thought nothing was happening. But the man was putting pressure on it. At the point in time, Daniel's pressure from the earth was so strong, God released Michael in the heavens. And Michael came, broke the barrier that was holding the man back, and all of a sudden, he appeared. So he said, look, you prayed 21 days ago, we heard you 21 days ago, I left 21 days ago. Alright? But to get down here, and why was it like that? Is it that the man didn't get the right words? No. It's a spiritual thing. It may be the same words that he's using, but his persistence is being checked. It's a reflection of the intensity of his faith. Sometimes we think that the man of faith is one that gets in one day. Not necessarily. The man of faith is the one that will not give up at all. That's what makes him a man of faith. So if he comes in day one, fine. If he comes in day 21 like this one, doesn't make any difference. Do you get the point I'm making? Now don't forget something I said before so that we don't lose this thing. The prayer that you pray for yourself is not you wake up in the morning, God, Pastor Banky said, we shouldn't stop until the car arrives. I didn't say that. You know that? I believe when it comes to car matter, you should pray, confess, and forget it. No, really, because it is not commanded. In fact, it is not good for a child of God to exert his spiritual energy trying to bring forth things like that. No, it's not. How do you handle such things? How many of you have a prayer manual? Who carried all the one? That one is the kind of prayer you pray for yourself in the same manner as this one. You don't ever let up. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Do you get my point? I know the way the people deal with doctors. And you know, today I was with a friend of mine. In fact, it's one of the reasons why I kept Israel and Chukwubike and Co. waiting for a while. I was with somebody, I had to see him about something that was important. I was explaining some things to him. And some of them had to do with the mistakes that doctors make, the errors that's entrenched in medicine as it is today, based on ignorance, not because somebody's wicked, but because this medical science doesn't know as much as they would love to know. Do you understand? So when he looked, he said, he was scratching his head. He's a lawyer. He said, now, wow. That is, with all of this, we just carry our whole body, go and meet another mortal man, and do to me as you see fit, with all the errors that he can commit. Do you understand my point? But if a man dares to believe God, they say that these people are fanatics. I dare to say, the man who's believing God truly, are you hearing what I'm saying? Stands a better chance of getting healed and living longer than the guy who has all the doctors working on his case. Yeah, I'm persuaded about that too. I'm persuaded about that. True faith. What else can I do faith? You know that kind of, what else can I do faith? Most people don't come to God until the doctor has condemned them. God is nice. No, I'm serious. A lot of those things are not faith. It's more of, there's nothing else we can do. So if they had brought, remember the day Abalaka? There's one doctor Abalaka that conned the whole nation. That's when I knew that human beings are really, really stupid. I don't mean stupid as you're a stupid man. I mean people were created stupid. I don't know whether you get my point. People couldn't reason simply that this man was lying. I couldn't believe it though. That this man is lying to the whole nation. You mean you guys can't even see it? I just married that time. My wife and I, you know, newly wedded couples. We had no job done. Wake up in the morning, they cross leg, they change channel, you know. What? Why? It's in the Bible. Don't even go to war for 1 year. So I didn't used to go to war. So that day they intervened the man. I couldn't believe it. That the guy was talking so sweet. Good enough, my wife had me by her side. I could help her see through the lie the man was telling. He will make a statement. I tell her, I say, don't mind him. You know why he's talking like that? Adesua Oyinekwe that was interviewing him is not a doctor. She doesn't know what's going on. And the man, don't let me digress from my message. The man avoided every form of public contact with people of his profession. There was no interview he granted with another doctor there. Not one. One day they organized a press conference. The man showed up. No, the man was supposed to be there. NMA people were there. They waited and waited and waited and waited. Then they got out and left. As soon as they left, he showed up. When all he had left were what? Journalists. I thank you, people of the press. You are very honorable. He will praise them, praise them, praise them. You are understanding. You are wise. At the end of the day, they are stupid like the general people. You know what I mean? Stupid now, as in the human race. Because they don't know. And they want, now, what I'm bringing is, they wanted a cure for AIDS. That's the issue. That's why I'm telling the story. And those days when doctors were struggling to earn 20,000 naira in a month as income, he was charging each patient 100,000 naira for a session of treatment. You see what I'm saying? Somebody said, when I came to Enugu, I was teaching my students once, I said, we're just talking, they said, what about Abalaka? Nigeria doesn't support his own. I said, that's the problem with ignorance now. See, he said, if it's in America, I said, let's tell the truth. In America, the guy is in jail. That is not a matter of... even with that one he was doing, let him take a flight and go to the U.S. They will lock him up for us. So you guys can't lock him up. Let's help you out here, man. I said, God save and said the raccoon really was not in charge of NAFDAC. The woman for take and do practice of how to imprison doctors. You are very, very nice. The rest of us will behave after that. Now what I'm trying to say is that, look, that's just by the way. The fact is that sometimes people just come to God, not out of faith, but after the Abalaka phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? You claim you can do it, don't try now. You know that kind of, you say, try now. What am I explaining? God is still more reliable eternally than all the medical profession that we have. Yet, we keep returning. You will hear a story that the doctors made a mistake during surgery and that man died. He said, wow. Tomorrow you have stomach pain. What's the first place you go to? It's still the doctor. You don't lose faith in him. If we only have half of that amount of faith in God, believe me, all things are possible to him that believes.